Hi, welcome to the second podcast. My name is Dr. Linda Chin, and I have been studying the Word probably for about the last 13 or 14 years, and I love the study of the Word. The purpose of this podcast is actually to reach Christians and to help us gain a better understanding of the Word. It's to help gain a better understanding of what the Bible is saying to believers. Christian Women in Training Network is a Bible study ministry, and it's created to help women become carriers of the glory of the living Word, so that when people encounter us, they are encountering Jesus Christ Himself, and they're encountering people through whom they will experience the love and the power of Jesus Christ. And this is what we do. We study the Word in a loving and structured and safe environment. Our actual mission is to train women how to search and mine through the Scriptures for the purpose of developing an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So if you'd like to join us for one of these Bible studies, please feel free. The first Saturday of every month from 8:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., we meet at Fully Rely on God Christian Ministries. That's located at 1445 Municipal Parkway in Douglasville, Georgia. Again, that's the first Saturday every month from 8:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Today we're going to talk about pneumatology, the study of the Holy Spirit. Pneumatology, P-N-E-U-M-A-T-O-L-O-G-Y, talks about the personality of the Holy Spirit, the deity or the divine nature, the supremacy of the Holy Spirit. Segment 3 will be the distinction of the Holy Spirit from the Father and the Son. And segment 4 will be names of the Holy Spirit. So we'll come to you in 4 segments. We're going to give you some scripture references as we go along, so be sure to have your pen and paper handy. Thank you so much for joining us, and we are ready to study the topic. Let's have fun digging in the Word of God. The use of a pronoun clearly implies that the Holy Spirit is a person. In the book of Acts, we know that chapter 5 and verse 3 and 4 reference the Holy Spirit as He. And in the Greek language, the word for spirit is a neuter noun, meaning that it refers to the Spirit in a neutral personality. So 1 John 15:26 says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, He shall testify of me." So clearly we understand that the Holy Spirit is a He. He is a person. Let's continue on. John chapter 16, verses 7 and 8. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you." Verse 16 and 8. "And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." What we are doing here is just actually explaining and showing that Scripture shows that the Holy Spirit is not an it. He is the third person of the Godhead. John 16, verse 17, 13 and 14. "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He will glorify Me, and He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you." So clearly we understand that the Holy Spirit is a person, and we just like to know that Bible backs us up when we are teaching about who the person of the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit, He also has characteristics, like we as people have characteristics. Characteristics that only a person can have are ascribed to the Holy Spirit. So we understand clearly that He is a person. Bible backs that up. 1 Corinthians 2:10. "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." So what this scripture is clearly laying out here is that the Holy Spirit has knowledge. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? The spirit of the man which is in us who are believers is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, this is a characteristic of the Holy Spirit. He's also called the Holy Ghost. It's the same person. The character of the Holy Spirit has knowledge, just like a person has knowledge. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. But all these worketh that one and the same self-spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will, which means as he chooses. So the Holy Spirit has a will. Like you have a will and I have a will, the Holy Spirit has a will. We decide what we will do, what we won't do. The Holy Spirit divides gifts or gives gifts unto men as he wills or as he chooses. So we're talking about the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. He has knowledge and he has a will. We know that he's a person because Scripture has laid that out. Romans chapter 8 and verse 27 says, and he that searched the heart knows what is the mind of a spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit of God has a mind. The Spirit of God has a mind, so he thinks. He searches the heart so he can do things. He is active. He, again, I'm going to read Romans 8, 27. He that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, who is a person, has knowledge, he has a will, and he has a mind. Romans 15 and verse 30 says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. The Holy Spirit loves. He loves. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. So the Apostle Paul is clearly laying out here that the Holy Spirit has characteristics. Like a person has characteristics. He has knowledge. He has a will. He has a mind. The Holy Spirit loves. The Holy Spirit also grieves. He has emotions. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. So the Holy Spirit grieves. He has emotions. I love how we understand clearly that Scripture lays out that God, the Holy Spirit, is a person. Acts that only a person can perform are ascribed to the Holy Spirit. So we are still in segment one where we are talking about the character, the personality of the Holy Spirit, and that a personality has characteristics. Nehemiah, Old Testament, Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 20 says, thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheld not thy manna from their mouth, and gave them water for their thirst. So the Holy Spirit instructs. Many believe, and I have heard people say, that the Holy Spirit did not exist in the Old Testament. But we find in Genesis even, where the Bible tells us that let us make man in our image and after our likeness. So clearly, he always existed. The Holy Spirit is God, and there was never a time where God, the Holy Spirit, did not exist. But now we're talking about the Acts, still on the segment one on the personality. So acts that only a person can perform are also ascribed to the Holy Spirit. You can tell he is talking about the Holy Spirit based on the context of the Scripture. Nehemiah, again, 9:20 says, thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct us. That is an act. Now, John 14:26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, remember I said he is the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost, he's the same person. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now that was Jesus talking, letting us know that the Holy Spirit teaches all truth. Teaching is an act. The Holy Spirit teaches all truth. God lets us know in John 16, 12 through 14, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you unto all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. So clearly we see in Scripture that the Holy Spirit guides, he hears, he speaks, he shows you things to come, he glorifies Jesus, he receives the things of Jesus, and then he shows them to you and me. Now, how powerful is that? When we think about the characteristics and the personality of the Spirit of the living God who dwells on the inside of us, how awesome that he guides you, that he hears everything we say. He hears from heaven. He speaks and shows us things to come, not things that are just happening right now, but things that are to come. And the Holy Spirit's whole job is to glorify Jesus. It is to point us to Christ. He receives the things of Jesus, and then he shows them to us. I think that is powerful, and I think that's awesome. That's a wonderful scripture to meditate on in your personal time. So be sure that you write that scripture reference down. That's John 16, verses 12 through 14. John chapter 4, 15-26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So the Holy Spirit testifies. He testifies about Jesus. The Holy Spirit points us to Christ. Acts 13:2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. So the Holy Spirit talks. He said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. We already know he speaks from John 16, 12 through 14. So he speaks, he talks, it's the same thing. He testifies, but he talks to us. And oftentimes what we'll do is we'll say something said or something told me. So as we're learning what the scripture is teaching us, let's no longer refer to the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit as something. He is somebody, and he talks to us, and he tells us things to come. He tells us what to do. He guides us, and he instructs us. So let's go on to say, the Holy Spirit showed me or guided me or spoke to me or spoke this into my spirit. Acts 16, 6 and 7. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go unto Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not, which means he forbade them to go there. He forbade them to go and to preach the word in Asia. Now, nobody knows the mind of the Spirit except God. And accept what he reveals to us. So we don't know right here why he forbade them to preach the word in Asia. But clearly, what we are pointing out in this scripture is that the Holy Spirit commands and he forbids. So you can say, again, something told me not to do that. No, that is the Holy Spirit commanding or forbidding you to do something. You can stay safe when we learn to heed the voice of the Spirit of the living God who speaks to our hearts. Praise God. Don't you love the Word of God where it opens up to us that God, the Holy Spirit, is a person who talks and guides and instructs and teaches us and tells us of things to come and will even forbid us to do something. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 says, take heed there unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. The Holy Spirit appoints us to office. This scripture is loaded. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So when you think about it, bishops and pastors are overseers, evangelists who lead, teachers who teach, they're overseers. They are commanded to feed the church of God, which Jesus Christ purchased with his blood. That is powerful. So no man can take unto himself the office of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, or pastor, or teacher, as we find in Ephesians verse 4:11. But the Holy Spirit actually appoints us unto office. That is powerful. Acts 21 verse 4 says, "And finding the disciples, he tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem." So here it is, who was said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. Again, the Holy Spirit will tell you not to go someplace. The Holy Spirit will tell you not to say something. As he told them not to preach the word in Asia, now he's saying, who said to Paul, using a person, the Holy Spirit is a person, but he'll speak to you through a person also, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit will speak directly to you, and he will speak to you through another person. Acts 21 and verse 11. "And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." So the Holy Spirit speaks to us through others, specifically about things pertaining directly to ourselves. Have you ever sat in church or a service and felt like God was talking directly to you? Well, that's probably because he was. That's probably because the Spirit of the living God was talking directly to you. Hallelujah and praise God. Romans 8, verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God." The Holy Spirit leads. If you're led by the Spirit of God, you're a son of God. Hallelujah. So now we understand that Jesus Christ was not the only son of God. I'm a daughter of God. And there is no gender in Christ. So we're sons and daughters of the Most High God, that we're his children, and he leads us. Romans 8:26, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." So the Holy Spirit intercedes. That was Romans 8:26. Now, I don't want you to be confused here, because Scripture says that the Spirit itself makes intercession for us. Clearly, we understand that he is a person and that he intercedes, which means he prays for us. And so sometimes, I don't know if you've ever been in a place where you just don't know what you ought to pray for yourself. You're going through something, or you know somebody who's going through something, or you pick up that somebody's dealing with something and you don't quite know what to pray. Well, if you have a heavenly prayer language, that is to pray in tongues, then pray in your heavenly language. But if you don't, and you still don't know what to pray, the Bible says that the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Back in time, some hundreds of years ago, slaves in America would moan and they would hum while they were working in the field or serving in the house. And as they moaned and hummed, what they were actually doing were groaning in the Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit was interceding on their behalf directly to the Father. So just let's learn this lesson. If we don't know actually what to pray in our own native tongue, you can moan, you can hum, you can groan, and the Holy Spirit, who knows what's in your heart, will take that prayer to the Father, who knows everything. Now that's powerful. That's what I call a loophole, where the devil can't steal your prayers or make you think that because you don't know what to pray, that you cannot get a prayer through. Clearly, Scripture tells us that's not true. 1 Corinthians 2:10, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God he searches," which means he also searches our heart. Galatians 4:6, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." The Holy Spirit cries out. And in the Greek, that word Abba means papa. It means daddy. I've heard people say that when we refer to Christ or God as daddy or papa, that it is irreverent, that it's disrespectful. And yet, clearly, Scripture shows us that God sent forth the Spirit of His Son, that is the Holy Spirit, into our hearts. And out of our hearts, we cry, Abba, Father, Papa, or Daddy. That is the Holy Spirit in us crying out. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Revelation 2:7. He that hear hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Clearly, again, we see the Holy Spirit speaks. Now watch this. So then there's treatment that is ascribed to the Holy Spirit. There is treatment that is ascribed to the Holy Spirit, and that is awesome. So we're still talking about the personality of the Holy Spirit. The treatment, Isaiah 63:10, but they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. So the Holy Spirit can be rebelled against. You can rebel against the Spirit of God when you willingly and knowingly do opposite of what he is telling you to do. Now, if you don't know it, God is merciful, and he will tell you time and time again. He'll speak to you in various ways so that you have clear understanding. You can't trick God into thinking, I didn't understand, because the Bible already says that he searches all things, which means he searches our heart. The Bible teaches us he knows all things. And so when he knows that in our heart that we have rebelled against him, he can be turned into an enemy. And we don't desire to grieve him or to treat him as an enemy. So the Holy Spirit can be rebelled against. So we have to be careful how we treat God, the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed into the day of redemption. He can be grieved. We heard that earlier. We don't want to grieve him. We don't want to rebel against him. Hebrews 10:29. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. So in other words, you can insult the Holy Spirit. This is what Hebrews 10:29 is saying. How much more punishment do you think we deserve or should be thought worthy, those of us who trod Jesus Christ under our foot and count the blood that he shed for us that made us sanctify, count that as unholy? That's an insult. It's an insult. That's how we were bought. That's how we were redeemed by the blood of God, which is the blood of Jesus, which is a holy thing. And how dare we treat it as unholy? So we can actually insult the Holy Spirit. Acts 5:3. But Peter said, Ananias, why have Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? So you can lie to the Holy Spirit. Now that's insulting. When you lie to God, the Holy Ghost, who is omniscient, meaning he knows all things, that's an insult. It's an insult when you lie to somebody and you know they know the truth. After all, he's God. He is God. So we have to learn to respect and to honor God, the Holy Spirit. The personality of the Holy Spirit is where we are still in segment one. I hope you are getting something out of this. I hope that your relationship with the Spirit of the living God becomes deepened and widened and lengthened. He lives on the inside of us, and he is just awesome. Matthew 12:31-32. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaks against the Holy Ghost, it will not be forgiven him, neither in this world and neither in the world to come. So you can blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. You can actually speak against him. And to blaspheme is to call something unholy. So how can we call that which we know is holy, unholy? Unholy. Let's talk about that. So let's look at this where we talk about the holiness of God, the holiness of the very Spirit of God. Mark chapter 3 and verse 30. Because they said he hath an unclean spirit, the miracles Jesus performed were wrought not of himself, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 10 and 38. They call the Holy Spirit unclean. That's what blasphemy is. It's to call the Holy Spirit unclean. Unclean means blemished. It means impure. It means contaminated. So if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you are calling that which is holy blemished. You're calling it impure. You're calling it contaminated. The spirit of a man is his essence. So they're saying that the very essence of God is impure, that it's blemished, that it's contaminated. And that word holy, it means to make clean or to purify. It means to consecrate. Holy means to consecrate, to purify, to clean. So clearly here we understand that the Holy Spirit is purified himself. He consecrates us. He's awesome. He's powerful. He's pure. There are no blemishes in him. There's nothing contaminated about the living God, the Holy Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit. There's nothing unclean, nothing contaminated, nothing defiled about him. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So Matthew 12 and verse 24, talking about the Pharisees now, they knew better. They knew better than to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. But they wanted him dead so badly they defiled his very name. That's why Jesus told them that they would be judged in Matthew 12 and 36, because now you're blaspheming my spirit. You're blaspheming what is holy. In Mark 3 and 22, it was the scribes, not the Pharisees. We saw that it was the Pharisees who were blaspheming the Holy Ghost in Matthew 12, 24. In Mark 3 and 22, we see it was the scribes. And so Jesus told them in verse 29 and 30 of Mark 3, their blasphemy put them in danger of eternal damnation because they called the Holy Ghost unclean. We've got to be very mindful of our words. Got to be very mindful of our words. 1 Timothy 1, 19 and 20. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou by them might war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning the faith, have made shipwreck. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Now, you know that's powerful. That blasphemy against the Holy Spirit would cause God to deliver you unto the hands of Satan, to teach us a lesson, which is not to blaspheme. Putting away a good conscience is ignoring what you know is right. And that's why he said to Timothy, he's saying here, I commit unto thee, according to the prophecies which went before you, that you might war good warfare, holding the faith and hold on to that good conscience. In other words, continue to do what is right and don't ignore what you know is to be right. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. He teaches us things. He brings all things Christ said to us to our remembrance. He anoints and he renews us. He baptizes us in his power, according to Acts 1:8. The Holy Spirit comforts us, 9 and 31. He prays for us in our weakness, as we saw in Romans 8 and 26. So here it is, they insulted the very person that could pray through them, teach them, guide them, show them things to come, speak through them and to them. So I hope that you got something out of segment one, the personality of the Holy Spirit. As we prepare to go into segment two, let us understand that we're talking about now the deity of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean, the deity of the Holy Spirit? It means the divine nature and the supremacy of the Holy Spirit. It's the rank or the essential nature of God. It is exalted, how he is exalted, how he is revered supremely, how he is revered as powerful, how he is revered as nothing but good. Segment two, the deity of the Holy Spirit. The deity or the divine nature of the Holy Spirit, the supremacy of the Holy Spirit tells us in Scripture that he is eternal. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So here we find again, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offers himself without spot? So we see the Holy Spirit has offered himself without spot. Remember, we said that to blaspheme him said he has a blemish. So something that has not a spot can't be blemished. But this is what the eternal God offered himself without spot. The eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. He purges our conscience from dead works so that we can serve a living God. Glory be to God. The deity of the Holy Spirit, the divine nature, he is omnipresent or he is ubiquitous. What does that mean? It means he's everywhere at the same time. It's awesome to know. That's why you can pray with people in another state, another country, over the telephone, and you can all touch the same God, that God is with me here in Georgia, and he is with our family members around the nations and the world at the same time. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10. The 139th division of Psalm, verses 7 through 10. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. That is powerful. That is awesome. There is no place, believers, that you can go where God is not with you. Remember that in tough times. Remember that in good times. Remember it in sorrow or when you feel you are going through that valley of the shadow of death, that God is with you. The Spirit of the living God is with you. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Hallelujah. There's no place you can go where God is not there, where the Spirit of the living God, we're talking about the deity, the divine nature of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is omnipotent, which means he knows everything. He has all power. He holds all power. He's potent. He's omnipotent. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, this was Elizabeth, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Watch this. So the angel, so we know angels are real and they talk to us as well. They're messengers. The angel said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And I said that was Elizabeth, but we know that this is Mary. I apologize for that, but I also like to know, like you to know, that when we find we can correct ourselves in Scripture, we must know. So Mary was pregnant with the Son of God by the power of the Holy Spirit, and this is what we call, right, the divine birth. Right? The Virgin Mary. was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, and that which grew in her stomach, in her belly, in her womb, shall be called the Son of the Living God. Hallelujah, the Son of God. He's omnipotent. He's omnipotent. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. That's how powerful he is. What is born of God overcomes the world. What can be so powerful, so omnipotent, so potent that it overcomes the entire world? When you think about it, the world includes everything that you see on earth, everything in the sea, beneath the earth, the heavens, the stars, the moon. That all consists of, the world consists of all those things. So the Holy Spirit, he's also omniscient, which means he knows all things. When you look at that word omniscient, O-M-N-I-S-C-I-E-N-T, when you have a conscience, look at all those letters, it talks about the things that you know. So the Holy Spirit is omniscient, meaning he knows everything. How awesome that he loves and he knows everything about me and he loves me. He knows everything about you and he loves you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10, 11. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the Spirit of the God which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God knows the things of God, and he knows the things of man. John 14, 26, some of these scripture references are redundant or repetitive, and that's why we tell ourselves and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Scripture interprets Scripture. John 14, 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto him. Why? Because he knows all things that God, that Jesus said unto us. John 16, 12 through 14, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you can't bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you to all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. How can anybody show you things to come? How can anybody guide you into all truth if they don't know all truth? How can anybody show you things to come if they don't know things to come? So the Holy Spirit doesn't only know the things that are in the past and the present, but he knows your future. And he will tell you and he will show you things to come, good, bad, and indifferent. God is awesome. You can be protected when the Holy Spirit shows you things to come. He can show you things to come in a dream. It can be a vision. Right? It can be a thought. He will show you things to come. So that concludes segment two. We talked about the deity, the divine nature, the supremacy of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is also equal to God the Father and God the Son, but there is a clear distinction. So in segment three, we're going to talk about the distinction of the Holy Spirit from the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit is just as much God as Jesus is. He is simply the third person of the triune Godhead. The Holy Spirit is the active agent in the earth today. That's his distinction. He is the active agent in the earth today, acting through us, through believers and other people and whomever he chooses. And we find that in Scripture. So he acts through us since Jesus ascended to sit at the right hand of God. Now we have the Holy Spirit, who is the active agent in the earth. That is the distinction between him and the Father and the Son. So the doctrine of the Trinity or the triune Godhead or the teachings of it is not taught in the Bible per se. However, putting together the truths of Scripture and Scripture interpreting Scripture, we find that the Trinity does exist. A clear distinction exists between Jesus, who was on the earth, the Father, who spoke about Jesus from heaven, and the Holy Spirit, who descended in bodily form as a dove. Let's go to Scripture. Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus, also being baptized and praying, the heaven opened up, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, which said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." I love this. So here we see that clearly the Trinity that we said is not taught in the Bible per se, putting together scriptures, we see that the Trinity or the triune Godhead does exist. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus, also being baptized and praying, that the heaven was open and the Holy Ghost descended in bodily form, right? And then God, the Father, spoke from heaven and said, "Thou art my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Here we clearly see God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 33. "Therefore, being by the right hand of God, exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he have shed forth this which ye now see and hear." I repeat this. "Therefore, being by the right hand of God, exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he," which is Jesus, "that shed forth this which ye now see and hear." Glory be to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. A clear distinction exists between the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Matthew 28:19. We all know this scripture. We call it the Great Commission. The Bible says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." So we see a clear distinction exists between the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. A clear distinction exists between the Son who prayed, the Father who he prayed to, and the Holy Spirit who is the answer to the prayer. John 14 and 16, "And I will pray the Father," meaning I will pray to the Father. This is Jesus talking. "And he shall give you another comforter," which is the Holy Spirit, "that he may abide with you forever." God is awesome. So Jesus is saying, "I'm going to pray to my Father. I'm going to pray to God. And he's going to give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever." That's the Holy Spirit, who will abide, live with, dwell in us forever. Hallelujah. Praise God. So here we see in Scripture the distinction of the Holy Spirit from the Father and from the Son. That concludes segment 3. And we enter into our last segment, our fourth segment, which talks about the names of the Holy Spirit. God is awesome. I hope you had your pen and your pad, because we have given you many scripture references. And that is just so that you can go back in your own private and personal study and reading time and verify that what we are teaching and talking about here is coming from the Holy Bible. Hallelujah to Jesus. The names of the Holy Spirit. This is segment 4. And so we know that spirit means breath and it means wind. Ezekiel chapter 37, 8 through 10. "And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them." These were the dry bones. "And the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, the Ruah breath, the Holy Spirit, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army." You know, that's powerful. Acts chapter 2 and verse 2. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. He is the Spirit of God." That's powerful. He is the Spirit of God. He is the Spirit of wisdom. He is our understanding. He is the Spirit of counsel. He is the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. You'll find that in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 2. He's the Spirit of the Lord. He is the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. That's who the Holy Ghost is. That's who the Holy Spirit is. Isaiah 61 and verse 1 tells us that he is the Spirit of the Lord, or he's Jehovah. That's who he is. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 3, he is the Spirit, or the very essence, of the living God. He's the Spirit of Christ. Romans 8 and 9, he is the Spirit of his Son. Galatians 4, 6 lets us know. Philippians 1 and 19 says he is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He is the Holy Spirit in Luke 11 and 13. He is the Spirit of judgment and the Spirit of burning, according to Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 4. According to Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, he's the Spirit of holiness. That lets you know you cannot live holy without the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. He is the Spirit of holy. You can't walk holy. You can't think holy thoughts. You can't have holy conversation unless the Spirit of holiness dwells in you. Romans 1 and 4 tells us he's the Spirit of holiness. In Acts chapter 4 and verse, chapter 1 and verse 4, Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, he is the promise of the Father. God promised that he would send another comforter. And Jesus let us know that as well, that the Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father, Acts 1 and 4. In John 16, 13, he is the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of truth. He is the life. He's the Spirit of life in Romans 8, 2. He's the Spirit of life. He is the oil of gladness in Hebrews 1 and 9. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 29 says he is the Spirit of grace. So when you need grace to do what you're called to do and what you need to do, call upon the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of grace who is in you. Have you ever heard somebody say, "Help me, Holy Ghost"? They are calling upon the Spirit of grace to help them to do, to help you to pray. He is the Spirit of grace. He's the Spirit of glory in 1 Peter 4 and 14. He is the eternal Spirit, as we learned in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. He is a Spirit that will never die. Spirits don't die. Spirits don't die. We hear people say you're going to slay a spirit, but spirits don't die. Hallelujah. He is the Comforter. Holy Ghost is the Comforter, according to John chapter 14 and 26 and John 15 and 26. He's the living water in John 37 and 38. He is the living waters. Living waters shall flow out of your belly. Another means that as that means out of your heart. So we know that Matthew tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, is the living water which flows out of us. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And I just want to throw a little extra something in here for us, that the Holy Spirit does works. Now, we've completed our segments, 1 through 4, 1 being the personality of the Holy Spirit. Segment 2, the deity of the Holy Spirit. Segment 3, where we talked about the distinction of the Holy Spirit. And 4, we talked about the names of the Holy Spirit. But we also need to know that the Holy Spirit does works. Remember, we said he is the active agent in the earth. He convicts the worlds of sin and of righteousness. So I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is a person. He's awesome. He's wonderful. He's kind. He prays through us. He convicts. Hallelujah. He tells us places not to go and things not to say. And he also is an active agent in the earth. I hope that you have enjoyed this time on our podcast, where we talked about pneumatology, the study of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Just want you to know that you can reach us. You can reach us at CWIT2010@att.net. You can also go to our website at www.christianwomenintraining.com. Join us next time or next month with our doctrine of salvation. Now that is called soteriology. we will have a guest who will be none other than Dr. Tarsha Stanley, Associate Professor and Chair in the English Department at Spelman College. You don't want to miss it. Thank you, and God bless.